as we celebrate one-hit wonders this morning on Fan 960.
Not sure why, but it makes me think of toast with peanut butter.
Rhett Warner, everyone. Usually Monday to Thursdays, 6:40 till 9.
Good morning, Stephen Brunt.
How are you?
What does Come On, Eileen do? Does it make you think of toast and peanut butter?
No, it does not, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, yeah. Not so much about the toast and peanut butter, but what goes on in that head.
Yes, that is that's an interesting and slightly terrifying thought. But yeah, no, I'm actually running a terrible 1980s music video through my head, I think, right
now. Yeah, no kidding.
The guy in overalls, is not the guy?
That is the guy.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
Ralu. The spring training coming to a close. Your thoughts on what you've seen, because you've been there for quite some time. Your impressions on the upcoming year for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, sadly, I'm home. It's nice to be home. I like my family and all that, but I have left Florida and fishing and spring training. I was talking to somebody about this last night. I think I've covered a lot of spring trainings going back, you know, way, way back. I'm an old guy. That's the most interesting one I've ever been part of, because it was just so, you know, usually there's kind of a script that they follow, and there's two or three jobs on this team and they've got to figure it out, or it's a team that's rebuilding and or it's a team that's made a big trade. And you know, the year that's after the trade with the Blue Jays, the big Marlins trade, and then Dickey coming in, that was pretty interesting. But I don't know that I've ever been in one where they kind of just, where the script, they just threw the script out and they said, we're going to see who makes this team. We're not going to look at guys' birth certificates and say they're too young or inexperienced. We're going to take guys who played low A ball, and if they look like they can play in the big leagues, we're going to give them a shot. And I'm not sure that was the plan going in, but as spring training evolved, you know, look at it now. You got a bunch of players who I don't think anyone thought had a shot of making this roster, who are going to go north with the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, Osuna, Castro, Devin Travis, starting second baseman. It is a really different team, and it's a different approach. And it's exciting. I think it's got a high risk, high reward, but I'm not sure they had a better option. And I'm looking forward to seeing what those guys do in the big leagues.
How much of that has to do with the pressure to win now? You've been saying for quite some time that it's winner, you're done for Anthopoulos and Gibbons this year.
Yeah, I think that's. I think that there's. There is that. Although, you know, I'll tell you, if you're going to look at Alex Anthopoulos' resume right now, what a general manager actually does, you know, the fact that you've got all of these young guys, you know, virtually all of whom he drafted, about to make their big league debuts, you got to kind of take the long view of a GM, I think. Now, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they'll take a completely knee-jerk view, and if they don't make the playoffs, they'll fire him. But it's a pretty good sampling of his best work here. But I also think, honestly, that they just kind of looked at, you know, where they are payroll-wise, which is not, you know, it's not a small payroll, but they don't have a lot of flexibility. They're kind of locked in, and they looked at, you know, who the best talent was, and these guys kind of forced their hand. You know, you could take somebody you've heard of, I guess, or somebody that's got more experience, or you can take Miguel Castro, who's throwing 99 miles an hour in the spring and with a crazy changeup, who major league hitters have not touched this spring. I think he'll be the closer by the 1st of May. I think he earned it, right? I don't think that's a panic move. I think it's looking at a guy and saying, well, you know, no one seems to be able to hit him. So until they do, we're going to give him a chance.
Is he the story for you, Steve, or is there another guy you're more excited about?
Well, Castro I think he's the story, because he's the guy, literally, you know, I remember the first day I was down there before the pitchers and catchers officially reported, we saw him playing catch out in the outfield. All the baseball writers and broadcasters, none of us knew who he was. You know, he's like 6'4" and 102 pounds. You know, he's this big, tall, skinny kid. And, he was so off the radar. But the other guy I think has been, you know, has been tremendous is Daniel Norris, who, you know, everybody knows is, because, you know, of course, the guy who lives in his van. But he came, again, a guy who was probably most likely targeted to be in the rotation in Buffalo, maybe even New Hampshire. And he looks like he has been the best starting pitcher in spring training. You know, he's been absolutely the best. So, you know, you take away the disappointment of what happened with Marcus Stroman, you know, it's a pretty happy story when you look at the pitching staff.
Let's move on to the Canadian Football League. Yesterday, a memo, if you want to call it that, I really wasn't, I was caught unaware that discussions to this extent were taking place, proposed rule changes, and there's no shortage of them, and all of them would be very much impactful on what happens within the game. Do you want to walk through the ones that stand out to you, and we can go from there?
Well, we could try. You know, there had been rumbles this offseason that they might do some radical stuff, that they might attempt it, because I think there was some worry, you know, and it's a legitimate worry within the CFL that the product wasn't very good, that you know, that it had become a bit dull, and you know, that a game that's known for high scoring and you know, wide open offense was not looking like that anymore. And you know, they've had a little softening of their TV numbers, and they had a bit of a softening in their attendance. And so, you know, I kind of applaud them, the fact that they said let's throw some stuff out there and see, you know, if we can make a real change. Now, I guess the one thing people are going to notice is this: you know, they're going to fiddle with the convert, and I don't know if I can fully. Do you have it all in front of you, all of the things?
But, yeah, I've got some of it here.
Converts are pretty much, you know, automatic and irrelevant now, in, you know, both in the CFL, and I think the NFL is talking about doing something as well. I think they want to encourage teams to go for two, and because the kick is, you know, there's hard always 15 kicks have been missed in the last 10 years or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, here's the numbers on it, because right now it's from the 12-yard line. And according to the CFL, the point after attempts were successful 99.4% of the time, while field goal attempts between the 31 and 33-yard line, it dropped to 81%. So they're talking of moving the extra point kick to the 32 instead of the 12.
Yeah, so it becomes a field goal, essentially. You know, like more of a bit of a test of kicking. And they're going to move the two-point convert to the 3-yard line, which in theory would make that a little more automatic or a little more worth taking that risk.
And if you want to take it to the 10 for an extra point, you can get 3.
Yeah, that's a bit goofy to me. But you know, once upon a time, I think touchdowns were 5 points, weren't they? Like, I think that yeah. You know, there are. It's not like these things haven't changed historically; they have. So I don't know about that one. But you know, what it means is it at the end of a close game, you know, it means you could be in it. You could, you know, you'd be in a game that you otherwise would need two scores in. I think that's a good thing, right? It's sort of like when you add wild card teams to the playoffs. The permutations at the end of a season or at the end of a game, the more you have, the better. So, you know, we'll see how that works. And I guess the other thing that jumps out for me is the change to pass interference. That, you know, they're going to go sort of like the NFL rule, which is where you don't allow contact beyond 5 yards. And, you know, right now you can contact a receiver until the ball's in flight, until the ball's released. But if you say, okay, after 5 yards, you cannot touch a receiver, in theory, especially on a big field, that should give receivers a huge advantage. It's going to be tough for DBs.
Yeah.
But you have to think that's going to make it easier for guys to get open, which, again, is part of the issue. You know, I think the other part of the issue is that the quarterbacking in the league is not that great right now. But I think you want the receivers to have an advantage. You want to be able to complete big plays. You want more scoring. So they also are going to bring in review on pass interference both ways. So we may have to sit through a lot more reviews, but. You know, I don't necessarily think that's the worst thing either.
This one here is intriguing. On a punt, the 5 interior linemen on the punting team can't go past the line of scrimmage until the returner has caught the ball. So instead of everybody roaring down the field at the moment of the kick, they've got to hang back until the ball is caught, and then they can go downfield, which would do something to get the return game more exciting.
Well, it'll create some space. And, you know, I guess the other thing is, ideally, it will create a few fewer penalties on returns because, not that I'm a Hamilton guy, that I'm bitter about what happened with Brandon Banks, but...
What?
There are a few, you know, sitting there watching a great return and then immediately going and saying, oh, there's got to be a flag. I would think with fewer guys piling downfield, you're going to have fewer blocking penalties. It's got to open up the return game. Again, a huge advantage to the returning team, but that's kind of what you want. They're also fiddling with the no yards penalty a little bit on that. So
yeah, you know what? I like that one, Steve. You get a good the no yards thing. It just wipes out the play. They're talking about putting the 5-yard penalty at the end of the return, whatever it might be.
Yes.
So there again, they are encouraging offense. If you're a DB or you're on the other side of the ball, there's not a lot there for you.
No, not a lot to like here.
Right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Steve.
But as a fan, I want to see big returns. I, You know, the CFL, they went through a phase there where, you know, the big kick return was almost eliminated. You know, they were almost gone. And, you know, you want big plays. You want, you know, you want big pass completions. You want big returns. I don't want to watch CFL games that are, you know, 17-14. I don't think that's the way the game should be played.
The only thing that surprises me here is that we've seen the NFL move back kickoffs, and a lot of the justification for that was, okay, well, you know, you've got major head injuries, you've got lawsuits coming against the league. Doesn't that rule with the linemen on punt returns, are you not asking for more huge collisions? I thought football was trying to get rid of this hits to the head issue, right?
Well, of course, the NFL has essentially eliminated kickoff returns, right? Like that's, which is kind of, you know, they could almost eliminate kickoffs now, aside from onside kickoffs, because they all go through, almost all go through the end zone. So it's kind of, and that was the argument. There was a safety argument, not just head injuries, but all kinds of, you know, really terrible knee injuries happen on kickoffs because guys get hit from weird angles. So there was a health and safety issue, and yeah, I think that's a legitimate point that it's, you know, that if it's more wide open on the kicking game, there's going to be more potential for that. But you know, if the return game is going to exist, you know, if you're not going to just turn this into, you know, a fair catch league, I guess that is a risk they are willing to absorb on the players' behalf, you know, in order to make the paying customers happy.
Now, of these proposed changes, they'll try some in the preseason. How many do you really expect will be implemented even by the start of this year?
I wonder about. I don't know that we'll get the 3-point convert. I would think that's. But you know, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. I would think the pass interference penalty will change. You know, I think that's one that would change right away. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. And I would think that the you know, maybe moving the convert to back to the 32 and the 2-point convert into the 3. You know, I think that'll probably happen. Reviewing pass interference both ways, I assume that'll happen. You know, I can't see any reason not to. I don't know. The reaction I've seen so far and heard so far has been positive to this. You know, I haven't heard anybody say you're ruining a great game here. Most people seem to think you're improving a great game.
It'd be a different approach in many ways for a general manager. All of a sudden, the impactful special teams returner would take on a huge role and importance, right?
I would think that, and a big, fast, big, tall, fast wide receiver, you know, yeah, who has a physical advantage on a corner. You know, if you've got that guy, you know, he's going to have space. You know, if he can, he's going to have to get through the first 5 yards. But you know, again, it's almost more of an NFL type. Well, a guy like Daron Carter, who now is in the NFL, who played for the Owls last year. But you know, imagine that the advantage that would give a guy like him, you know, who is as big and strong, as fast as he is, and you know, once he's past 5 yards, he's clear. That's a player that there's going to be a premium on finding guys like that, you know, that can kind of get through that first 5 yards and the first bump and then take advantage of it.
Good stuff, Steve. Have a fine weekend. We'll do it again next week.